and how many of them were so tense and edgy they would actually vomit. Theo didn't feel sick to his stomach, but he felt the fear, the unease. A veteran trial lawyer had once told him, "If you're not nervous, son, then something is wrong." Theo was certainly nervous, but he knew from experience it was only temporary. Once the game started, the butterflies disappeared. He touched the microphone, looked at the moderator, and said, "Thank you, Mr. Mount." He turned to the central team, cleared his throat, reminded himself once again to speak clearly and slowly, and began. Now, Mr. Bledsoe makes some valid points, especially when he argues that someone who breaks the law should not benefit from it, and that many American students who were born here and whose parents were born here cannot afford college. These arguments cannot be ignored. Theo took a breath, then turned his attention to the spectators, though he avoided eye contact. He had learned a few tricks during his career in debate, and one of the most important was to ignore the faces in the crowd. They could be distracting. They could make you lose your train of thought. Instead, Theo looked at objects when he spoke. An empty seat on the right side, a clock in the back of the room, a window on the left side. And as he spoke, he continually shifted his gaze from one to the other. This gave the clear impression that Theo was tuned into the crowd.